I think we could go live. What do you think? We could go live tonight. It's Wednesday. We're getting over the hump. Let's get this preview going here on Insta. There we go. And I'm pushing the button. Go live. I'm cutting it too close. All right, everybody. As soon as I can push this button for Instagram, we'll go on live. All right, finally. Finally, we were on there. Okay, let's run the intro. Yes, we are live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Church Prep with MWD Wednesday Drumroll. I am Mark W. Douglas, and we better get things started off with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Happy Wednesday, drumroll. And it's now time to introduce the Song of the Week's backstory. And here we go. Backstory. And the Song of the Week, remember, is Sinner's Prayer. One of the best songs I've ever written. And Monday was fun. I hope you got to hang out with me on Monday. We got to set it up real nice about what it means to say, I want to get saved. We really did. We broke it down. Ooh, it's a good long show. Make sure you go watch that show. Listen to it on the podcast. Tonight, though, I've been saving tonight because it's the backstory time. It's time for me to tell you the backstory of me getting saved. Let's see what happened here just on Instagram while we're sitting here. So I'm going to help. I guess I got to send a confirmation code to get on Instagram. Hang on just a second while we're live. Thanks a lot, Instagram, making me do this while we're live. I mean, you know, let's see what happens if I can get a confirmation code here from Instagram. And who knows, set it up, set it in, get it in, figure out if it's real. But tonight I'm going to give my testimony of how I got saved, when I got saved, and all that good stuff. So here we go. We're going to verify the account. Give me just 2 seconds here while I go over here. And don't you just love technology? Let's see if I can put it in here. Who knows? All right. Okay, we're pushing some buttons. We're live. Hey, this doesn't normally happen, so you guys can thank me, right? You can say, hey, you know what? This has never happened. This guy's always, he's going to town. Did I provide the right information? Yeah. It says, we detected unusual activity. Well, going live isn't unusual. Change your password to secure your account. Well, I don't have time for that, so we're not going to do it. Okay, so Instagram, I may just have to upload something separate, something later. Okay, we're just going to do it later, and we're not going to worry about Instagram tonight. So sorry, Instagram. Too much, too crazy, and that's okay. So I tell you what I did right before the show started, which is really cool. I decided to pull a Bible off the shelf, and I thought, you know, that does kind of remind me. I wonder if I have the date. First I thought, do I have the date at which I was saved? Do I have that date? I used to have it right on the tip of my tongue, and I used to tell everybody about it. Like, that was the day I was saved. And throughout the years, I guess I stopped remembering that date, but I remember that it was, I remember the day, it was a Sunday, and I remember how old I am, or old I was-ish, okay, I was like 9 years old. But the one thing I do remember about the whole thing, about getting saved, was that I was worried that I wasn't officially saved the first time. You ever been there? Anybody been there? Raise your hand. You ever been there? I wasn't sure if I was saved the first time, so I wanted to make sure And I was going to get double. I was going to get double, like double vaxxed. I'm going to make sure that I'm sure that I'm sure that I'm saved, right? So I pulled this little Bible off. There we go. Where am I at here? Are we over here? I wanted to pull this little Bible, and it's got all kinds of, maybe it's got some tape on here from when I was a kid, but it says Mark Wilson Douglas right there on the bottom. So my mom and dad got it engraved for me. And it was just, it's just a hand Bible, right? It's just right there in the hand. It's great. It's got red letters, and it's the whole entire Bible in such a small little compact thing, you know? And what did I find just now when I pulled it off the shelf and I looked inside? What did I find? It reminded me. And it says down here in Mark's little handwriting, if you can see it, maybe I will get it up there. And it says, yes, it says, first entry at the bottom, Mark, colon, made sure I was saved. July the 22nd, 1984, at 12:10. And I can give you some information about that as I'm pushing it up into the camera, if you can see that. Oh, look, I got lucky. It's doing an auto thing, an auto turn. So you get to see that right there. The second entry says, Mark, 1985, November. Growing in the Lord. Mother has heart problems. We will be having a good Christmas. And on the other page, it says, you know, the Holy Bible presented to, and this is not my handwriting, this must have been my mother's, Mark Wilson Douglas, by his parents, Kenneth Wilson Douglas and Nelda Ann Douglas. And this was on May the 12th, 1984. So it looks like I got the Bible in May, and on July the 22nd, I went forward. Now, this is the part I really remember. The fun part where I remember being at the magnificent church, Highland Park Baptist Church, which is no longer there, and maybe, and then they may have sold it, and it was maybe being used by other Christians, possibly Christians, and huge. It was the second, I always remember them bragging about it being the second largest, I guess, church, you know, in Tennessee. Don't really remember what the first one was, but this thing was huge. Not just the span of the floor, but just how high it was. I bet it was the highest, but just how high it was without a balcony. No balcony except for, you know, the front where they would have the singers, you know, the choir. I mean, I guess you could call that a balcony, but everything out in where people would sit. It was all one floor, and it was massive, like an amphitheater, but of course it was all covered. And I remember how, as a young kid, to go forward, to step out of the aisle, there were so many aisles. There's actually so many aisles in this place. I'm not sure how it looks now, but there were so many aisles in this place that it went from A to Z, and then it started over AA, and then AB. Or maybe it was AA or BB, CC, whatever. They had so many aisles, they lost count. They had to do some weird calculations on what aisle. So if somebody maybe was radioing somebody in the church, they could say, "Hey, we need some help on aisle AA." I mean, this place, this is just aisles. Or maybe it was sections. I mean, it was crazy, okay? You get the idea. So to step out, and all these adults are in the room, to step out and go forward, it was scary, but it meant something. It meant that you were bold. It meant that you were ready to, I mean, it really was a test to step out into the aisle, because everyone's going to be looking at you like you're the one, you're the sinner, I guess, in this case. But at this Baptist, independent Baptist church, there was an altar call, which there was on many Sundays, and many people would go down. So it was something that was on my heart for the entire message. And I just knew I had to go. I was so scared, you know, but I knew I had to go. And of course, you know, you start moving in the pew, and people are starting to look, and maybe you get your nerves settled and you go, "Oh no, I was just scratching my back," or "I was just leaning." Just leaning to the side. I wasn't going forward. I was just, so anybody that doesn't want to go forward, whatever you do, don't start leaning or scratching or raising your arms or moving your legs during the invitation, because then everyone's going to look at you like you're a sinner. I know it sounds weird, but that was just a kid thing maybe. Oh, are they going forward? Just the way it is, okay? It's just the way it is. That was the life. That was the life. So on this Sunday, July the 22nd, 1984, somebody looked that up. I guarantee it was a Sunday. There was a big clock in the back when I finished. I could just skip to that part, but when there was a big clock on the wall, huge clock on the wall with a short hand and a long hand, and I looked up at the clock, and it said 12:10. And I guess maybe they made a big deal about that. You know, like, this was the day you were born again, a born again Christian. And I'll maybe talk about that in a moment, but I wrote that down in my Bible here back in 1984. So that would have made me, I hadn't turned 10 yet, so that would have made me 9 years old. But I was convicted and I wanted to make sure I was saved, because that's one of the things I remember. So I wrote, made sure I was saved. And that's good, because I kind of said I was saved, and I went through the motions of praying and all that. But as you get older, as everyone knows out there, as you get older and you really start to understand what it is you're doing, and not just, I understand this is me saying, I understand I have an awareness of really the commitment that I'm making now. This isn't like I'm, obviously when you're 9, you think you don't think you're a kid anymore, maybe. But you just want to say, like, this is me now. This is me. I am choosing this road, right? And I am giving my life to God. So you go down, you go forward. And maybe my dad went with me, I'm sure. Maybe he did. Maybe my mom went with me. And we went down forward just to have my mom and dad there. I'm sure they did, because they wanted to be with me. They wanted me not to be scared up there all alone with some pastor. So you get up there and this music's playing because it's an invitation. And, maybe the pastor just keeps the music going until people stop coming forward. People stop coming forward. Then they lower the music and the pastor talks over the people, over the music, while the people are praying. So people may be praying all up and down the aisle there. And that's how it works. That's how it worked. I remember that scenario over and over and over again. And and then once I gave my life to Jesus, then I didn't have to go through that scenario. And I could just pray for the people that were down there, maybe. And let me talk about the baptism too in a moment, but a huge church, my goodness, just a massive church. Anybody knows it's huge. And so went down, said the prayer, which is the prayer. Come on, what's the prayer? So I've written a song about it. It's going to be the 15th song this Sunday. And the song is, of course, Sinner's Prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart, because I am lost as lost can be, in need of a Savior. So please forgive me, because I am a sinner. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I love you. And so what is probably the more likely prayer that I would have prayed? Okay, let's go over that. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm really just going to get off the song script, because that's in my brain right now. But I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And I want you to save me from my sins. That would have been the prayer. Save me from my sins. Give me a home in heaven. And I want to serve you with my life. I ask that you come into me and live with me. I'm almost positive it was just right around those lines. It was a very simple prayer. I ask that you come in and live with me. And let me serve you for the rest of my life. Give me a home in heaven. That may have been part of it. And thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? And it was awesome, And following, following with baptism. So maybe the next Sunday, maybe the next Sunday, possibly. Went up into that huge, you know, here we are in the big building again. It may have been a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Let's see. It may have been, or maybe it was before church. Either way, it was still at this, in this back, where, you know, in the, where the baptismal, what if it gets called the baptismal behind there, where they do. So right there in this main church, you know, and you got people in front of you, you got people behind you, and they're all getting baptized, right? Because it was a thing, man. People were getting baptized. People were getting saved. You go down and you put on a white robe, I believe, maybe. And maybe you've got a change of clothes, and you maybe you have your hands like this, and they put a dry washcloth right there in your hands, I think. I think that might be right. And then the pastor, when you get in front of the pastor, I think he grabs that towel. He grabs the dry towel. Okay, he puts his hand on your back. He puts the dry towel in his hand because, you know, he's been dunking people already. But the dry towel is in his hand, and then he places it over your nose, and it's just gentle. It feels good. And so you obviously, just like when you go under, like when you're swimming, and he says, what does he say? I know what he says after the first part, but he says, buried with him in baptism, right? So he says, buried with him in baptism, and he puts the thing over my nose, squeezes my nose together, and gently drops me back into the water. And then he pulls me up, and then he says, raised to walk in newness of life. Similar to something like that, right? So buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Pretty cool statement, right? Isn't that cool? And that's something. But the symbolism is you go and you are being made new. You are being made new by this drop. And you're symbolizing it to everyone that you are a new person. You have been born again. Okay? And the salvation, I would say that and this is the part I need everyone, every Christian to really understand. Okay. The salvation isn't in what I said in that moment. Okay. It's not. The salvation isn't in getting dunked into the water. It's not. The salvation is proven with my fruit. End of story. The salvation is proven in my fruit, the fruit of what I'm going to do the next day, the next hour, the next day, the next month, the next year. Okay? So you have to look at your life, right? Like I'm looking at my life, and you have to go, where are my receipts, Mark? You'd say to yourself, where are my receipts? I am supposed to be a Christian. Where are my receipts? Now, I want you to understand, when you do your taxes, your accountant or yourself, you're going to find your receipts. You're going to find your receipts. What was your deposits and what were your write-offs? Do you not do that? Yes, you do. So what is Mark trying to do on this show? We're trying to fix the world. And how do we fix the world? It's so simple. We can get off the news apps now. That we fix the world right here. I'm pointing at myself. I'm pointing at my face. I'm pointing at my soul. We fix the world right here. And everyone does it. Everyone does it. And we follow Jesus like we're supposed to be following Jesus. Booyah! Things start to change in our world. Because everyone is now following after the laws of Jesus, the rules. Yes, laws and rules. Yes, it's called structure, right? Okay? And the way that we're supposed to live, well, how are we supposed to live? We're supposed to live according to how the father in a home, okay? Or the single person in a home, or the mother in a home. How does the Bible outline those people? A single person, a father, and a mother? It's all outlined in the Bible, right? The rules, right? the rules. You could call them rules. Some people will call them freedom, right? It's freedom to give your life to Jesus and to subjugate yourself to his will. Yes, I just said that. Subjugate yourself to his will and his purpose for you. You are now on his payroll. And guess what? The payroll, the cash that you're going to get, it's eternal cash. It's laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. So, this is a symbolism thing when you say the prayer and you do the baptism. So, but what is really happening, right? What is really happening? Where are your receipts? I just can't say this enough. So what if right now at this exact moment that you're listening to this show, what if your answer to this whole question that I'm asking you is that, Mark, I don't have receipts and I don't know why? Then let me tell you something. If you don't have receipts, you're not saved. And I want you to be saved. That's the good news, right? This isn't condemnation. This is like the knowledge that I have no receipts. It's just the beginning of an awesome road. Not a conviction. I'm not convicting you, right? God's doing the convicting. Right, so it's the beginning of the most beautiful road ever. And how could that be? I've just told you I have no receipts, Mark. Well, that's okay, because tomorrow we're gonna have receipts, right? And so right now, I didn't think I was gonna do this tonight. I didn't even know what I was gonna do, because what am I supposed to say? But right now, and even as you meditate on what I'm saying right now, I'm gonna throw this out there, okay? Would you like to become a Christian? I talk about it on the show, right? I talk about, this show is about salvation and discipleship. Well, what is salvation? What do you mean? So you give your life to Jesus. You can say it, but it doesn't mean anything until you do it, right? Like, you could say, I'm a Christian all day long, but it doesn't mean anything unless you present yourself as a Christian with the things that you do in your lifestyle. That is the definitions, right? It's called receipts. You know what receipts are, right? And so I'm going to say this now, and it may just go through the motions, but maybe even when I sing my song, it's the 15th song on Sunday, then you're ready and be like, you know what? I'm going to join Mark on the 15th song of this Sunday, and I'm actually going to mean it. But right now, here it is. It's just as simple. Like I just explained when I went forward, you know, Lord God. You say, Lord God. Lord Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. And I want you to forgive my sins. Yeah, I want you to forgive my sins. I have made mistakes in my life, and I want to make it right. I understand, I believe that you are the God of the universe, the triune God, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I understand that. And I believe it. I believe that you died on the cross. Even though everything in my being says that's impossible, the same exact impossibility exists with the fact that I'm even here breathing. So if I'm going to say that that's impossible, then what am I saying about what's happening right now in my body? It's impossible. It's impossible that I'm here. It's impossible that this body functions the way it does. It's impossible that this universe functions the way it does. It's impossible. And that's why I believe in you, because I believe that there was a miracle. Just like everything, every moment that's happening right now into the future is an impossible situation. I know that you died on the cross for my sins. I know you did. And your blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood of God, saves me. I don't understand it, but I accept it. And I want you to give me a home in heaven. And I want to serve you, and I want to live for you. There's so many ways to give your life to Jesus. Give my life to Jesus, I understand. To finish this prayer up, Lord, thank you for saving me. Help me to live a life worthy of being called a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? So there's lots of ways to say that prayer, right? That was a long version. Lots of ways to say that prayer. Does it mean anything unless you are ready to walk the walk? Not talk it. Walk the walk. Shame on those who are talking and talking and talking, and all you are is a hypocrite. Shame on you. Get yourself right with God. And guess what? Just like that, you can be forgiven and you can start afresh. You can start anew. It's okay. You can start over. You can, what is it called when you're rededicate your life? That's what they used to call it when people were out of the will of God and not serving God, but yet they didn't really call it getting saved again, getting saved a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. They would just call it rededication, right? So who's ready to rededicate your life? Really? So we can have receipts. You know, receipts. Like an audit. Could you do an audit of your life? Would you have receipts? Or is it filled with garbage and trash? I say this not as a condemning tone. I say this as a person that's just like, I'm praying for you. I'm wanting to help you. Join me. Because Christians shouldn't be weak. Christians should be strong. Why is it so easy to be strong when you're a Christian? Because Jesus is on your side. It's so much fun to be strong. But you can only be strong when you exercise that spiritual muscle, right? You can't be strong any other way. And so there it is. So yeah, I was saved. I was baptized. And I was, when you're in the church, it really is a fortunate thing. I'm trying to, let's juxtapose a life like mine where, everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it in the aisles, right? Okay. So it was easy for me, kind of, sort of, even though I was scared to go out. I really love this line of conversation because I want you to understand the reality, okay? So it's easy in 1984 to go down, easy-ish in a huge, auditorium where adults are looking at you. It was easy-ish to do that because you're in a boys, there's a big, huge boys club. There's a big, huge girls club. And, you've got friends that are doing it too. And eventually we're all going to be saved. We just assume, we're all going to be saved. So I'm in an environment where, that's the thing to do. So it was easy, right? Okay, great. What does that mean, right? What am I getting at now? Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. Well, okay. About 5 years from that moment, 10 years from that moment, 15 years from that moment, right? So I was I was 9 years old. So 10 years is when I picked up the guitar for the first time and I started strumming my guitar and learning how to play the guitar. Unfortunately, that's a late starter. So I started late. And started writing some songs. I had no idea that I was going to do what I've done. The ridiculousness of what I was able to accomplish writing so many songs. Just ridiculous. As you will see, it's unfolding right now in front of your eyes. Just the ridiculousness of writing so many darn songs. And I did that never under the same circumstances as I did in that church. I did that 100% on my own in a room closed. There wasn't So I'm kind of giving myself, you know, or trying to let you understand that it's not what you're doing when everybody's doing it. It's what you're doing when no one's doing it. I'm not saying nobody was doing it, but you know, there's no pressure. There's no peer pressure. I didn't have friends that were writing songs. I didn't have a single friend writing songs. I didn't have a single friend playing music with me. This was all on my own. Just deciding that I was going to remember that tune and I was going to remember that and I was going to, and you know, I could have written about anything, which I did. I've written about 275, something like that. Not all of them Picasso's, okay? But out of the 275, I've got 120 Christian songs and then the rest of them are love songs. So I will be diving into the love songs after I finish the 3-year project. But my point is, No one made me write Christian song after Christian song after Christian song and sit there in almost blood, sweat, and tears, continuously go back to that song and make it better and make it better and make it better and make it better and chisel it a little bit more and try a new bridge and try a new outro and try a new, that doesn't work, and make it work. Make it work, right? No one made me do that. I did that. I did that on my own because I felt that's what God wanted me to do. So that's what I'm trying to say is God wants you to do something. You could totally ignore it and have lots of time on your hands. But I've spent at least a full decade writing songs in my spare time. At least. I mean, a full decade of my entire, if you added it all together, of every spare minute I've ever had writing songs, right? Why does a person do that? Because I was told to do it. Because it was my gift. And I knew it without a shadow of a doubt, right? And you will see. That's why I'm playing songs for you now. You will see. You've only heard what? You've heard 11 plus the first 15, right? So you've heard a few, all right? 26, something like that. So, I want to encourage you, right, to make your own receipts, right? Now that maybe you want to rededicate your life, maybe you don't understand Christianity, but what you're seeing out in the world right now, that is there. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know I know what Christianity is. I know what it looks like, what it's supposed to look like. And let me tell you, it is nothing like what you're seeing. And maybe some of you get what I'm saying. But to really understand it, get back into the Word, get back into the Bible, and see for yourself what real Christianity looks like. And then just realize, pinch yourself. Am I in a backwards world? Is this really happening? I don't know a single Christian. I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that may be what you're saying. I mean, if you really think about it, where are these people's receipts, right? And I want everyone to have receipts. Let's make sure that's clear here. I want you to join me. I want everyone to have receipts. Because when we all have these crazy receipts, oh my gosh, the world changes like that. But as you know, and I've said it over and over, no one wants to change unless they hit a brick wall and everything falls into pieces and shatters. It's so horrible, but that's just how humans are. We will not change until everything is destroyed. Our family, ourselves, our bodies, our age, whatever. And then, you're too old and too decrepit and too pathetic and too whatever. Fill in the blank. Where you are, it's impossible for you to even have a gift or to fulfill God's, right? That may be what you think. There's still lots of stuff you can do. Ooh, come on now. I mean, if you can talk and you can use a phone and you can use a computer, I don't care how, you can find a way to serve God. and has some receipts. And receipts, well, they're just basically things that you're not getting monetarily in this life. It's just receipts in the afterlife, right? That everybody can see. So what I'm trying to do is encourage you and inspire you to change the world with me. Help me change. Come on, join me. Change the world with me. Join me. Let's have the most fun, the most amazing fun together, serving God. And yes, it's not easy. It's going to be a tough road. There's going to be suffering. That's what the Bible literally explains. That goes hand in hand with serving God, standing up for what's right, following Jesus is suffering, but it's joy in suffering. I believe they say all of the 12 disciples. Obviously not Judas, but I think they were all crucified or something like that. They were all murdered. That's not easy, is it? They could have easily, right? They could have easily said, okay, I'm just kidding. I wasn't really a follower of Jesus. I like my life better than that. No. They went to the cross or died. They died. They were murdered with their faith, right? Oh, goodness. So, sinner's prayer. Have you ever said the sinner's prayer? Have you ever really lived for Jesus? Or have you been living for yourself? Not saying we can't do things for ourselves, because we have to be alive, okay? We have to have certain things, right? But I am saying, where's the faith? To walk by faith, to live by faith. All right, everybody. Thanks for so much for hanging in there on my awesome testimony. I should probably add maybe just a couple more things, you know. Just in general, my testimony is that I have... even on episode zero, I explained this, but I've basically set myself up. I've set my entire life up. My entire life was set up choosing a profession that I can, on my off time, that can maximize my time to write music. Totally 100% chose being a fitness trainer because I could do the fitness training, but then I would still have time and all this extra time during the days to write music. Because I could be an entrepreneur. Basically, that was the crux of it. It wasn't being a trainer, but it was just in general being an entrepreneur. And I could set my own hours so I could get as much writing in and, you know, playing the guitar and working on these songs as possible. So I set my whole self up. I set my whole life up so I could work on these songs. And then after that, I did becoming a DJ and same thing. I'm still going to have time to write my music. I'm still going to have time to work on these songs. I had no idea how I was going to bring them out to the world. I had no idea that setting cameras up in my basement would be the answer. I always thought the answer was somehow getting my music to a record person, right? Or someone who could get me a record contract. And then after that, it was, I could just get my music on Spotify. And then after that, it was like, wait a second. Why do I want to make money off of God? Why do I want to be a money changer? Great job, Mark the Money Changer. All right, Mark the Money Changer. Oh, you're making money off Jesus. You're making money off salvation, man. You go get him. You're a chip off the old block. You're making money off God. You really are. You really have made. You just made something of yourself, man. No, that ain't me. And I had to work that out. I had to get out of the matrix to even get to that point where I was like, wait a second, why in the world would I want to make money? And then I started studying, and I started right when I was putting this all together, and I started writing a blogs, and it was really the blog for Zero. So I'm reading Zero, and I'm like, whoa. And I just came out of the matrix. I fully came out of the matrix of this Christian matrix of making money off the blood of Jesus. Okay? It's sickening. So I'm still learning. I'm still getting stronger, and I'm still understanding reality of what it takes, what it means to walk that narrow road. And what it really means to give your life and your gifts and your voice and your everything to Jesus. It just makes me smile because I figured it out. And I want people to join me. I want people to get kind of sort of Christian angry with me, like Jesus got angry in the temple. And I'm ready for people to join me on this road of purity. I want you to be pure with me, right? Join me on this road of purity. Purity for salvation and the will of God. We already know the will of God, right? To share the gospel with every creature. And how do we do that? By making money? Oh, no, no, no. Do that by purity in everything. Self-control. Oh, I can't wait to go over some of these, the list, right? The big list. Because everybody knows kindness, happiness, joyfulness, right? Ooh, don't go down the list to self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. You got to get down there. Because we got, it's equally weighted, right? In the verse, it's equally weighted. Self-control. So, yeah, man. Oh. I'm telling you, this tone that this entire show has, where I want people to repent, and I want the church to repent, and I want the church to have a reformation, this tone was never even in my brain when I was in church and writing this song, it wasn't so palpable that we are lost. The Christians are lost. They're asleep or dead or lost, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't so palpable, but it is palpable. It's so palpable. It's just right there, and everybody can see it. We have two eyes. We have two ears. We can see what you're doing. We can see your fruit. You can see mine. Stop pretending that you can't see it. Because when you pretend that you can't see my fruit, all you're basically saying is that you don't want me to look at yours. And again, I'm not talking to non-Christians. This is just so hysterical how Christians just keep saying they're Christians. But maybe the actual Christian percentage that I'm talking to is so minimal that most of the people who are watching, I don't know the answer, but sometimes it feels like I think I'm talking to Christians, but are you a Christian? That's right. Are you? Are you sure? You have receipts, right? And again, this is something that you should be asking yourself, right? But I'm looking around, and you're looking around. We're all looking around and wondering, what's going on here? We don't stand up for Jesus. We don't stand up, right? Whew, goodness gracious. So, thank you so much for putting up with me tonight and listening to my awesome speech. I think it's time for a five-song concert, because I tell you what I can preach about. I love talking about getting saved. This is a big one, because this is one of my purpose of this show is to talk about salvation and discipleship. And so tonight I got to talk about salvation for people that aren't saved, and salvation for people who think that they were saved, but then just had to be reminded, if you ain't got receipts, maybe you ain't saved. And then discipleship, because I want to disciple the people who are saved, but need to get their act together. So tonight was a home run, baby. I'm going to sing five songs, and it's going to start with Ready For You. Let's get this thing on track. I'm going to go to number two here. This was the number two song of the week. And you're welcome to go back and listen to that week's special. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I talk about this song. Let's have some fun tonight with Ready For You. I know that makes me wanna be ready for you. All over again, again. And again for you. We want to be ready for you. I see that you're ready for me, and it makes me want to be. It makes me want to be. All over again, again, and again, for you, and again, and again, it makes me want to be ready for you. Blessings are falling, mercies are true, light of the darkness shining right through. Your blessings are falling, your mercies are true, the light of the darkness is shining. I pray that you're ready for me. You've made me wanna be. You've made me wanna be. Thank you. Yes. I'll be ready for you. One song down. We're having a good time. Do you remember song number three, week number three? This is when I sang The Family Was Saved. Talked about me and Sharon, my wife. That's right, she's the mama in this song. I'm the daddy. And all the papas and meemaws. That's right, I'm talking to you out there. The papaws and grannies, yeah. Yeah, that's all my family. Phone calls, oh yeah, it's all true. There once was a mother who loved her children. She was crazy, hazy, head over heels in love with them. There was a father who loved his babies. He would play with them, pay for them, be everything in love with them. Bless this mother, bless this father, bless these children and this home. She ran out of the sugar. He worked to the bone. And they prayed. And the family was saved. He kissed on the mama. She loved on the kids. And they prayed. And the family was saved. There's papas and meemaws, papaws and grannies. They're babies, have babies, and what we've got is a family. A family together, a family forever. We walk with them, talk with them, hold them tight, in love with them. Bless this mother, bless this father, bless these children and this home. She ran out of the sugar. He worked to the bone. And they prayed. And the family was saved. He kissed on the mama. And she loved on the kids. And they prayed. And the family was saved. We were all torn up, listening to the sound of the phone. Ooh, babies crying. Oh, we got down on our knees and we say, "Hallowed be thy name. These children and this home. She ran out of the sugar. He worked to the bone. And they prayed. And the family was saved.
He kissed on the mama. She loved on the kids. And they prayed, prayed, prayed. And the family was saved. When she ran out of the sugar, he worked to the bone. And they prayed, 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 and the family was saved. He kissed on the mama. She loved on the kids. And they prayed, 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 and the family was saved. And the family was saved. Yes, it was. Two songs now. I think it's time for some you. Oh, song. This one was week number four. Song number four, you. One of my favorite songs, for sure. Let's see if I can play it here tonight. There. All right, here we go. My foolish pride, but you knew me. I was lost without you when you called my name. That's the joy you give to me. Make me all I ever am, and you give to me all that I have, and you are that life that lives in me, and you. I couldn't hide. Try to hold everything inside, but you knew me. I was lost without you when you called my name. Mark, that's the joy. you. You make me all I ever am, and you. You give to me all that I have, and you. You are that life that lives in me, and you. Bless, bless, bless. Bless you out there. There's three down. Gonna sing my Celebrate Recovery song. Celebration of recovery. What is the first step in the recovery process? What is that, right? Is it admitting? Admitting. Ooh, admitting. There's another place in this world where we have to admit something to someone else. Again, another great example of why we should be our brother's keeper. It's like I have to explain this to people. Why should we be our brother's keeper? Because it's called accountability. Hey! Ba-na-na-na-na. Denial ain't a river in Egypt, and help won't tear you apart. You're gonna wait until tomorrow, and that's no time to start. But you know, there's no time like today, and your recovery's just a moment away. You can tell him and he'll take it away. Ooh, there's a process that starts with admitting today. Recovery is just a moment away. it's a little rocky as hardship finds your way, and wisdom seems a mystery, and courage hard to say. And God says, when I am weak, there He is strong, and your recovery is just a moment away. You can tell Him and He'll take it away. Ooh, there's a process that starts with admitting today your recovery is just a moment away. You're here because of a reason, and God makes no mistake. He wants you in the family to celebrate today. Your miracle is on its way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your recovery is just a moment, boy. You can tell Him and He'll take it away. Ooh. There's a process that starts with admitting today your recovery is just a moment away. Ooh, there's a process that starts with admitting today your recovery is just a moment away.
Around, song number 5. I think it's time for some around. Woo! You lift me up when I'm down. You put my feet on the ground. Hey, I'm turning around. Hey, I've got it down. You caught me coming around. Like I was certain, you lift me up and I'm down. Hey, around. Oh, you put my feet up on that solid ground. Hey, yo, hey, hey, he's coming around. Hey. And way down, He'll lend faith for doubts and make you certain. You lift me up when I'm down. Hey, hey, oh, you put my feet up on a solid ground. Hey, yo, hey, around.
heaven bound. You stopped my milling around. Ooh, and made me certain, 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 certain. Oh, you lift me up when I'm down. Hey, yo, way around. Oh, you put my feet up on that solid ground. Hey, yo, way around.
Going out there. All right. So I did throw in this mix of lovely soft rock. I did throw in Around, which actually could be played on the electric guitar. Yes, indeed. Where are we at here? We're going to talk. Oh, goodness. Hey, want to learn more about this show? Why don't you go to mwdhq.com, figure out what's up. It's free. I got free downloads for all the songs I've released. So I've got 12, right? 12 released songs. They're up there for download. And you can find them. You can check it out. You can learn more about this show. I've got stuff in the description, but, you know, if you like podcasts, go listen to Zero. Get yourself a blessing. Remember to subscribe. You know, if you're going to get more content like this, you've got to subscribe to this channel. Like the video. Of course, subscribing, because that way it shows up in your thing. And I'm on the podcast. I always try to publish that podcast about an hour or two after the show. So as soon as I can get down to it and get the audio stripped from the video here. So join me as I prep you for church and explore the significant meanings of salvation and discipleship. Get saved. Become a Christian. Begin to walk the talk. Strengthen your walk with God. Get inspired by what I'm saying. Pass it on as you begin to challenge your friends and family with your words and actions. Be a better son, daughter, father, mother, granddad, grandmother, neighbor, friend, leader, and follower. Email me, what's your story? What's your reaction to what I'm saying? You can email me on the connect page, mwdhq.com. As I share my triumphs and struggles, I'd like to hear yours. I have two questions for you tonight. What is that specific thing that God has challenged you to do for your life and today? Number two, have you passed it forward by challenging and encouraging someone else? On Monday's show, I offered statements you could share with someone. Today, I offer questions to ask yourself, right? Which of the following questions are relevant to helping you move forward? Here we go. Do I truly believe in myself? Do I truly want to better my life? Do I pray for myself? Was I the one that was wrong? Am I truly sorry? And would I make amends with joy and humility? Have I forgiven myself? Am I truly thankful to God for what He has done for me? Is there someone I need to show love to? Why do I question God's love for me? Why have I not acted on God's plan for me? What purpose does God have for me today? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining my church prep family. I'll see you live Friday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. To God be the glory.